I always like to walk up to the lectern after Corey has sung because I am always greeted with applause. It's pretty awesome, I have to tell you. You should try it sometime. Before we pray together, I just want to share with you, I've heard over and over and over again from people, my goodness, this just doesn't seem like Christmas. Haven't you thought that? Haven't you said that? It's just not the same. Christmas is a time for declaration, so let me make a declaration to you, to all of us. Whether we're here, whether we're watching online, do you know that this Christmas is exactly like last year's? Christmas of 2019 is exactly like this year's Christmas. It is exactly like Christmas of 2001. It is actually just like Pastor Wes's first Christmas, Christmas of 1986, which I still can't get my arms around. And why is that? Because Jesus is here. Jesus has called you and me. Jesus came into this world to bring, and that's why we light the Advent wreaths, hope and peace and joy and love to a world that so desperately is lacking in all of those things. Jesus is here, and that's why this Christmas is the same as every other Christmas we've experienced and will be the same with every Christmas we experience in the future, because Jesus is the one who makes it Christmas. And for that, we can be grateful, don't you think? Yes. And before we pray, aren't you grateful for our music worship ministry? Yes. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this chance to be together, whether we are sitting in this room right now or whether we're watching online. Remind us that your Spirit and your Spirit's power is so great that you can draw your people together, you can draw families together, whether we happen to be in the same location or not. So tonight on Christmas, we ask that we would put all other things aside and remember that you are the reason Christmas is. Christmas. Without you, there's just a mess. And for your presence in our life, we'll thank you forever in Jesus' name. Amen. So just take a listen or take a look at tonight's scripture passage. It's from Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, all the way down to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths, not clothes and not swaddling clothes. Jesus was not wrapped in something from Pottery Barn. Cloths is actually a dressed-up Bible version of rags, and placed him in a manger, for there was no guest room available for them. John Hoffman is a pastor. He remembers one Christmas season a few years ago. He says, one year we hosted a Christmas luncheon at our home, and we exchanged white elephant gifts. Have you ever exchanged white elephant gifts? They're pretty fun. And we all laughed at the silly trinkets until something stopped all of our fun. The 10th or so person to pick a gift lifted from a gift bag a little baby Jesus in the manger. My wife was stunned when she saw it because it looked exactly like the baby Jesus in the nativity scene that was in the living room next to where we were. She left the room to check our nativity set, and sure enough, the baby Jesus figurine was AWOL. Somehow it had fallen off the table and into the gift bag on top of the tissue paper in which that real white elephant gift had been wrapped. We all had a good laugh. We returned Jesus to where he rightfully belonged. But the more I thought about it, the more I realized that this moment was quite telling, he says. You see, so often Jesus gets swept off center stage in our Christmas festivities and relegated to a kind of white elephant status. And he says that this is a very sticky situation because Jesus really is the only figure that matters at Christmas. Friends, when you and I, as followers of Jesus, finally get the reality that Jesus' presence with us is actually the only Christmas present we need, the Christmas season takes on a whole new meaning for us. It puts our Christmas lists in perspective. It makes the newest gadget not so vital to have immediately, and it makes all those gifts which are received only things which they should be, and stops making those gifts some unrealistic provider of happiness. In essence, the way Jesus' presence came into the world 2,000 years ago is pretty much the same way he comes into our lives today. So whether you know him today or not, you can still know him like everyone else who has ever decided to follow Jesus knows him. What do I mean? Well, let's look at how Jesus came into the world long ago and see if it touches us where we live today. For example, the presence of God, and Jesus is the presence of God, he is God. The presence of God, Jesus, came in the everyday busyness of life. You ever find yourself really busy? Anybody? Like everybody, right? Does the Christmas season have you in chicken with my head cut off mode? Well, did you know that Jesus arrives even in those situations? For some reason, too often, we think that because we are so busy, we don't have time to make a space for God. And if we think we don't have a time to make space for God, God being God can't possibly have time for us because he's so busy. But remember, God came in the midst of a busy world. I mean, why were Mary, Joe, and Jesus in the stable where the manger was in the first place? Because everyone was back for the census. Businesses were filled with customers. Hotels were packed to the gills. The streets were filled with energy like Bourbon Street in New Orleans. It was a madhouse. During Christmas, have you ever described your house as a madhouse? And God's presence, Jesus, came right in the midst of all of that. Friends, he cares about every aspect of your life, even those busy parts. I remember I was filling out the paperwork to make my kids official U.S. citizens. My kids were born in South Korea. After I filled out the paperwork and sent it off to Newark, let me just take a moment here, and I need to take a survey. Do you pronounce that city's name Newark? Everybody raise your hand if you pronounce it Newark. How many of you pronounce it Newark? Okay, you're wrong. It's Newark. Okay, anyway, I waited for the notice in the mail that would tell me when to go to that city called Newark and make it official at the federal building. When that notice came, I took the day off and I drove to Newark. Found the federal building, found the right floor, then the right room, and I waited and I waited and I waited. And it's the federal government, so that when my waiting was over, I waited some more. I finally got the opportunity to sign all the documents and make their citizenship official. It was a busy, stressful, but joyful day. I remember that with happiness. And I know God cared about it, and God was in the midst of that process. Well, I want you to think about your life for a moment, your kids and your grandkids. The soccer, the baseball, the football, the basketball games, the report cards, making Christmas cookies, cleaning the roof gutters, missing the school bus, buying more masks and sanitizer, waiting for toilet paper to come back on the shelves, cleaning your groceries, getting that new job, doctor's appointment after doctor's appointment after doctor's appointment, being forgiven, receiving a handmade gift that most would see as a disaster, but you see as a beautiful trinket from your child or grandchild's heart. All those memories, all that frenetic activity, all that borderline exhaustion. Some of you are thinking, how am I going to get everything done before tomorrow morning? Friends, nothing's changed in 2,000 years. Jesus came in the midst of busy life then, and he's able to come into the midst of your busy life now because he cares about every aspect of it, no matter what you're involved in or how busy you think you are. He cares about you regardless of the schedule that you keep. Another one to remember, the presence of God, who is Jesus, came in the smell of the feeding trough. That's what a manger is, you know, a trough where animals fed. He not only came in ordinary fashion by birth, you could say he came in subordinary fashion by birth in a stable, a dirty stable where the most sterile thing was straw and the only clothes were rags. Jesus came into the world in the most humble circumstances, and he experienced all the difficulty that you and I could possibly imagine. Sometimes I speak with people who are struggling, and they say something like, Ed, God can't identify with me. He's up there in some cloud-filled ivory tower in some place called heaven. He doesn't even know I exist. He can't understand my struggle. He can't understand my hurt or my pain or my conflicts. How can he know? And the good news, folks, that I can share with you tonight is that not only can God identify with those difficulties, but because of his presence on earth as Jesus, he has lived them all out. For all intents and purposes, God has been there and done that. He was born in abject poverty, learned a trade that many other people already had the skills to do, so the market was flooded. He was barely making a living. Had a mom of questionable character, according to the society in which she lived. Owned no property, had no possessions, walked everywhere he went, was despised by the church leaders, slandered, arrested for no good legal reason at all, and was executed because it was a convenient and quick thing to do on a holiday for the law enforcement community, all in 33 very short years. And he lived all that for you. Yeah, friends of Christmas, Jesus can identify with you and he can feel your pain and he knows your struggle because he's walked the same soil you have and has struggled as you have struggled. And I would argue has struggled far more than we ever have. He came into the world in a smelly manger in difficult times so you and I could know that God truly knows who we are, what we're struggling with, and what we truly need. Another one is this. The presence of God, who is Jesus, came in a crowded world that tried to keep him out. The first century was a very selfish, self-absorbed, self-indulgent, self-centered society. It kind of reminds you of another society, doesn't it? One that's about to turn the calendar to 2021. And regardless of our self mindset, Jesus came to a world which didn't care about him or invite him in for that matter. Even though he knew he'd leave the perfection of heaven and trade it for the pungency of the feeding trough, that he'd trade it in to wear rags and give it away so that one day he'd be crucified, even though he was innocent, he came to us because it's very clear that Jesus loves you and me. And my friend, he loves you and has done everything he possibly could do to demonstrate that love. He loves the inmate in prison, the scientist who's an atheist, the Wall Street banker who gets bailed out, the teenager who's run away, the son who lost his father, the Christian trying to live under her own power, the kid who steals a crimpet from Wawa, the prideful guy who believes God needs to return and punish every person because of their sin, except for that prideful guy, of course, because he has never sinned. How ridiculous. And he loves people that you don't like. He loves the lazy guy who doesn't pull his weight at work, the gal who's more concerned about foundation and lip gloss than the homeless person she's walking by, the husband who screwed up, the daughter who made some bad choices, the uncle who never tries to find a job, and the granddad who never told his kids he loved them. He loves the innkeeper who says no room. He loves Joseph's family who told him to dump Mary before it was too late. He loves smelly shepherds and self-righteous priests who would rather sacrifice a lamb than show authentic love to somebody. He loves the tax collector who rips off the public, the wise men who arrived really late. He loves the president who hands out pardons like party favors. He loves the king who killed others to find him. He loves the people who don't believe in him. He loves the people who are in a different political party than you are. He loves the people who followed him, and he loves the people who had him crucified. In short, he loves us all, and you're included. And you're going to have to get used to that. How do we know? Because he came in the midst of a busy world just like we live in. He came in bad circumstances just like we experience. And he came in a world that tried to crowd him out of their lives like we do so often. And he never stops pursuing us because he loves us. Folks, you have to get used to that at Christmas. You have to get used to that every day. You can run, but you cannot hide from the love of God. That is the truth at Christmas. You see, friends, now this is the time to open the present of his presence. He's here. His presence is the gift at Christmas. His arrival is the whole idea of this thing. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the way that you love us. We thank you for the hope that you give us. We're sorry when we get overwhelmed by the things that we have allowed to overwhelm us, and we forget that you are there and your power is available. So today, Lord, we ask that you would encourage and strengthen us, that you would remind us of your power, that you would remind us of the hope that we have in you, and that you would remind us that your presence is the present. Lord, we need you. Perhaps this year we have realized more than ever before how much we need you. Bring your healing. Bring your hope. Bring your peace and your joy and your love. Light up our hearts like our Advent wreath is lighted up, so that we will shine for you in the darkness. And we thank you and we praise you for all of your good gifts. In Jesus' powerful and precious name, amen.